The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it was a little bit over a year ago where we were talking during Lent about the different atonement theories that we have had throughout the centuries that have truly impacted how we understand what Jesus was trying to accomplish on the cross. And so we're going to rewind a little bit. And during that study, I introduced the historical notion that for the first 1,000 years of Jesus' death, after his death, that we believe that Jesus died on the cross for that much needed sacrifice for the devil so that Jesus could free us. That's what we believe for the first 1,000 years that Jesus needed to die for the devil. Right? I mean, for the first 1,000 years, we believe that the devil had more power than God, that Jesus needed to die for us. You see, this blood sacrifice understanding comes out of our Hebrew scriptures, and it goes back a lot further than Jesus' life, right? What we call the Old Testament. And early in our Jewish history, right, the Jewish community would bring animal sacrifices into the temple for the church leaders to burn or to kill, to offer to God some sort of gift so that our relationship with God would be right, would be pure. Right? So this is where Christians received our understanding that someone needed to die, that we needed some kind of blood sacrifice for us to get to heaven. And then around 900 years ago, Christians no longer believed that the devil needed Jesus to be sacrificed. Instead, we started to believe that God the Father needed a blood sacrifice in order for human beings to be saved. We made a switch. And I don't know which one was worse. That Jesus needed to be the blood sacrifice for the devil, or that God the Father needed some kind of blood spilled in order for humanity to be with God. And this notion that God needs a blood sacrifice is still as strong as it was 900 years ago in American Christianity. It seems that human beings, we just can't get rid of our need to see torture and death in order to increase our sense of worth. You see, God didn't need to die in order to be with humanity and creation. That God was with creation from the beginning, we need to read the Gospel of John, the first chapter. I invite you to read that at home today. And God wanted to be ever closer to us, so God sent Jesus to be born into our world as a gift. You see, 2 weeks ago, I was at the Rocky Mountain Synod Assembly in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Trey and Jason, we should have stayed there an extra week. And Trinity Lutheran, if you know, is a part of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. This is our national expression. And if you know this, I'm sorry. It's just good to kind of share this information. And Trinity is not only connected to the national church, but we also are connected to the regional church, which we call synods. And so the synod we are connected to is the Rocky Mountain Synod, which includes a huge portion of this country. Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, and a small portion of Texas. So this synod is huge. And at the synod assembly, I was so excited because my favorite author that I keep quoting for you, Richard Rohr, was our speaker. And he shared with us something that was a bit humorous, but also a bit sad. He called it the big comma. The big comma. He talked about the Apostles' Creed that is read in so many of our congregations around the world. And Richard shared that in the creed we say, and feel free to follow in your bulletin if you want to follow the creed. I'll start halfway through. That who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, comma, and suffered under Pontius Pilate. In the creed, we talk about Jesus' death, then there's a big comma, and then we talk about his death. We talk about his birth, comma, and his death. I mean, the big comma in the creed, according to Richard Rohr, is Jesus' life. That's a big comma. And it was one of those aha moments when he was sharing that with us. I mean, for 2,000 years, we have been struggling to understand his birth and his death, but we forgot to ponder deeply about his life. It didn't even make it into the creed. It got a comma. I mean, friends, at Trinity, you are more important than your birth date and your death date. Yes, that is what we put on our headstone. But if I'm here to do your funeral, I will talk about your life. Your life. You see, it's the big comma in the creed, and I will call it the big dash in our headstones, on our headstones. I mean, right? I mean, our birth and your death, those are incredible impacts in this world. But what I hope we do in between them matters just a tish more. How we live. And today in our gospel, I believe that Jesus is giving us a large portion of what Jesus was trying to give us in the big comma in his life. I mean, Jesus says in verse 34, I give you a new commandment. A new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. I mean, Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. New. That Jesus doesn't want us to continue to come to worship to offer that blood sacrifice in order for us to be close to God. I mean, Jesus came into this world to show us what love actually looks like from God's perspective. I believe that's what Jesus came into this world to do, to help us to see what love is according to God's perspective. And dare I say that Jesus' life is more about love than it is about a blood sacrifice? I hope I can say that without getting in trouble. I mean, for too long, we have made God the Father into this tyrant whose love for us can only be settled through what? Torture and death. So it's confusing for me today then to look at some of these atonement theories, because when I look at Jesus' life, that big comma, Jesus was always living through what? Nonviolence, peace, and justice. That was Jesus' life. That's how he lived. But when we look at God the Father, we never attribute God the Father as having those attributes. Rather, it's all about this need for this blood sacrifice, so it's a bit confusing. I mean, I wonder why we as human beings, we feel that blood must be spilled in order for love to prevail. Why can't God's love simply prevail? You see, Jesus' life, his comma was about equity for all, love and justice for all, compassion for all. And because Jesus came into this world to show human beings how God would love to have us live, instead of following that example, we killed Jesus. I mean, we killed Jesus not as a blood sacrifice. We killed him because humanity didn't want to lead with compassion for the sick and the dying. We didn't want to lead with justice on our tongues. We didn't want to lead with grace and forgiveness for our friends and our families. We didn't want to share our resources with those who have none. And because Jesus spoke in such ways, we crucified him. Because we didn't want to change. Humanity didn't want to change. And we continued to spill the innocent blood of prophets and leaders who hoped for the world to live not only with peace, but realized peace, real peace. I mean, one of my favorite readings is what Martin read from Revelation, that God is at home among mortals, that God will dwell with them as their God. They will be God's people, and God will be with them. I mean, this is what Jesus came to accomplish. And because Jesus came, we got to experience God. That God is at home. You see, Richard Rohr at the conference said this, that God becomes the stuff God loves. Which I think is an interesting thought, that God becomes the stuff he loves. That God created the world because God loved it. That God became a human being because God loves us. And Jesus showed us with every breath and with every conversation that God loves us. That's what we see in our Gospels. That's what we see in our scriptures. And Jesus showed us so much compassion that the leaders of his day had to silence such compassion. And still in our own culture, we continue to silence those who want justice and peace. We continued on that same road. And again, these are just a few names in the short life that I have lived. We killed Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We killed JFK. We killed Dr. Martin Luther King. We jailed people who also stood up for peace and justice like Nelson Mandela, Gandhi, and Dorothy Day. We're still doing it. You see, the world is never really ready to hear about justice for all, food for all, and love for all. It sounds pretty and wonderful in our pulpits. When it comes to real life, we crucify it. But thankfully, humans didn't fully succeed. Because still 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. We're still trying to live it. 2,000 years later, we're still trying to understand his words and his life. We're trying to understand in our worship, how can we continue to transform our own hearts to be more like the heart of our God? 2,000 years later, we're still trying to create congregations on what Jesus said today. I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. I mean, after all, God so loved the world. I mean, the fact that Jesus was born was enough to say that God would redeem. So God so loved the world that God created it and came to live in it. And in the end, Jesus accomplished what God was trying to do, and that was to spend some wonderful, intimate time with creation. And to quote my favorite Savior on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." It is so. But our story is not. Your story is not. So may we be inspired this day to live in the love that our God has given us, so that when we breathe our last, our friends and our loved ones may say that you help them see and experience the goodness of God, the goodness of love. And so it's my hope for you today that the big comma of God's life would compel you to live out your great dash with goodness and mercy and love. Amen.